Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending our first half 2017 results conference call. I'm here today with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our Head of IR, Alberto Valdés. After the presentation, we will be pleased to answer any questions you may have. In slide four, we can see the main highlights of the first half 2017. This confirms ENCE's strong business model and the successful execution of our strategic plan. EBITDA has grown by 65%, and net income has tripled, with pulp prices just 1.5% higher than in first half 2016. We reduced cash cost by 25 euros per ton in the first half in comparison with the same period of 2016 to achieve 344.5 euros per ton. The volume sold by our energy business was 54% higher than in first half 2016. Our strong generation of free cash flow has allowed us to reduce net debt by 14% or 30 million euros, reducing the group's leverage position to 1.2 times net debt to last 12 months EBITDA. Let me remark the approval of our new dividend policy of around 50% payout and three annual payments as from this year. We believe this strong pulp price environment will continue in a market where the balance between supply and demand remains tight. Our new Huelva 40 MW biomass power plant project is on track to start up in the second half of 2019. When fully operational, it will contribute 11 million euros to our annual EBITDA. Finally, we are analyzing several opportunities to accelerate the growth of our energy business through acquisitions in Spain. In slide number five, you can see in more detail some of the very strong figures for the period. As you can see, group EBITDA and net income have increased significantly despite the small recovery in pulp prices compared to the same period last year. Once again, this shows our strong operational leverage. Our analysis points to a scenario where pulp prices should remain strong, so we are optimistic about the evolution of these figures in the future quarters. The three main reasons behind this 65% EBITDA growth are, firstly, a strong cash cost reduction of 25 euros per ton. Secondly, an increase of more than 7% in pulp sales. Finally, an increase of more than 54% in energy sales, with a very good performance by both our old biomass power plants and the new ones acquired in December. During the same period, group net income multiplied by more than three times. In slide six, I would like to highlight one of ENCE's main strategic pillars, the continuing reduction of our cash cost. During the first half of 2017, we achieved a cash cost of 344 euros per ton, down from 370 euros per ton in the same period last year. Cash cost in the period is affected, as always, by the maintenance shutdown in Navia during the second quarter. The wood part of the cash cost is not yet affected by rises in pulp prices. It will increase in future quarters as we expect further rises in pulp prices, and we need to include some of the previous increases, which are not yet reflected in wood costs. As you may remember, cash cost increments by 3 euros per ton for every 50 euros increase in pulp price. Obviously, the impact of strong prices on revenues more than compensates this increase. As we stated in the past, our target is to reduce cash cost even further to an average of 339 euros per ton during 2017, with some adjustments due to the link between pulp and wood prices. Our target for 2020 is still to achieve 325 euros per ton thanks to our efficiency investments, management initiatives to reduce costs, and capacity increases which dilute the fixed cost. If you move now to slide 7, you can see the growth of our energy business. Energy volume sold has increased 54% compared to the same period last year, 18% due to organic growth, 35% from new olive pulp plants acquired in December. Accordingly, our EBITDA more than doubled in the period. Apart from the new acquisitions, these satisfactory results have been driven by, firstly, higher pulp prices, although we have provisioned 1 million euros for the regulatory collar. Secondly, higher production in our plants. And finally, a continued reduction in biomass costs. I strongly believe we will achieve our 45 million euros EBITDA target for the year. Turning now to slide number 8, you can see the growth of another of our strategic pillars, free cash flow generation. This has allowed us to reduce our net debt to 188 million euros. Our leverage ratio is now very low, at 1.2 times last 12 months EBITDA, clearly below our previous average of 3.8. We are committed to completing our investment plan to 2020, maintaining prudent leverage positions below 2.5 times EBITDA in our pulp business at mid-cycle price levels and below 5 times EBITDA in our energy business. In slide 9, we can see the eucalyptus pulp price evolution. We've been able to increase prices several times during the last few months, and we will continue to do so in the future. The inventory levels in the industry have been reduced from last year levels. Main producers, including us, have announced a price increase up to $880 per ton as from July. Moreover, we have announced a new price increase up to $900 for September. If we move now to slide 10, you can see our expectations for demand and supply growth for short fiber. As we have repeated during recent quarters, our view is that new capacity will be less than the growth in demand, and pulp prices should reflect this situation. The dynamics of the supply and demand forces will support pulp prices in the immediate future, and in the longer term, too. The start of the APP Oki project is proving to be more gradual than analyst expectations due to limited wood availability and some technical problems. Fibria is a leading global hardwood pulp producer with a market share of 20%, so I believe its capacity increase will not disrupt the market. During the first 9 months, 2017, demand has grown faster than supply. That's the reason why prices have dramatically soared so much and why stocks have declined also dramatically. In fourth quarter 2017, although new fibrous mill supply will exceed demand, prices will remain strong, because the full supply chain will rebuild inventories. In slide 11, you can see the demand and supply chart for long fiber. The situation is quite similar to the one in short fiber and favors a strong and positive prices environment. Long fiber supply and demand will also remain balanced in the short and medium term. Now, if you move to slide number 12, I would like to review our FX hedging program. We hedge our dollar exposure by means of a tunnel structure that covers more than 50% of pulp sales planned for the following 18 months. Our objective is to make the company even more resilient to any possible FX scenarios. Currently, we have secured an exchange rate for 2017 between an average floor of 1.08 and an average ceiling of 1.15, covering 68% of our revenues. In slide number 13, I would like to highlight our stable and attractive dividend policy. The Board of Directors has approved a new dividend policy applicable as from 2017 based on a payout ratio of around 50% and three annual payments, two interim dividends, one agreed upon at the end of the first semester and another agreed in November of each year. A final dividend to be proposed to the ordinary general shareholders meeting of the company in the spring. In any case, we will always maintain a prudent leverage position at below 2.5 times EBITDA at mid-cycle price levels in our pulp business and 5 times EBITDA in our energy business. According to this new policy, the Board of Directors has approved a first interim dividend from 2017 results of 0.061 euros per share, equivalent to 15 million euros, to be paid on September the 6th. Finally, let me remind you that ENCE ranks number 10 in the IBEX Top Dividend Index. In slide 14, let me remind you the next steps in our pulp business strategic plan. Firstly, we will add 30,000 tons during 2018 in our Pontevedra mill. 40,000 tons will follow during 2019. Secondly, in Navia, we will add 80,000 tons between the winter of 2018 and the spring of 2019. All in all, our production capacity will reach more than 1.1 million tons by 2020. In slide 15, I would like to highlight also the next steps in our energy business. Firstly, we will construct a new biomass power plant in Huelva, where we will have synergies with our two other power plants. This power plant will generate an annual EBITDA of 11 million euros from 2020. Secondly, I would like to share with you our internal analysis on the impact of a potential review of the RI of our biomass power plants in 2020. Our worst-case scenario is a reduction from 7.39 to 5.5%, with an annual EBITDA impact of 3.5 million euros. We are already working on cost-cutting initiatives to offset this potential impact totally before 2020. And now, let me hand over to Alfredo Avello to continue the presentation.
Thank you, Ignacio. If you move now to slide 17, you can see our consolidated results, which have been fueled by a 7% increase in the pulp sales volumes, even though pulp prices were only an average of 1.5% higher than in first half 16, a very significant reduction in cash cost of 25 euros per ton, and a 54% higher energy generation volume accompanied by 10% higher pool prices. As a consequence, our EBITDA grew by 65% up to 88 million euros. Our recurrent free cash flow reached almost 50 million euros, 174% higher than in first half 16. And our net debt was reduced by 30 million euros, down to 188. These results show the strength of the continuous delivery of our strategic plan commitments. If we move on to slide 18, let me show you more in detail the operating performance of our pulp business. Compared to first half 16, ENCE reduced its cash cost by 25 euros per ton, down to 344. We should mention that during last quarter, we had the annual maintenance stop in Navia, which always has some impact in our cash cost. Our pulp volumes sold were 7.2% higher, with a very limited price impact of 1.5%, as previously said. Average prices should grow along the rest of the year, as we foresee a strong pulp price environment. Our pulp business EBITDA increased by 55%, totaling 69 million euros in the first half of the year. We expect to increase this figure in the following quarters, thanks to the continuous implementation of our cash cost reduction plan, as well as the strength of the pulp market. In the next slide, following the P&L, below the EBITDA line of our pulp business, depreciation, financial expenses, and tax figures are again in line with our expectations, and so should continue to be during the next quarters. Within other financial results, we are showing the positive impact of the dividend contributed by our energy business, partially netted by the FX results. Including all these items, the pulp business increased its net profit by up to 35 million euros in the first half of the year. Now, looking at our pulp business cash flow generation in slide 20, the recurrent free cash flow increased up to 42 million euros in the first half of 2017, compared to 19 million euros in the same period of 2016. Our working capital needs have increased due to the higher sales of the period, combined with the $180 per ton that prices have increased from December 2016 to June 17. And we have invested 12.6 million euros in expansion and environmental capex, leading us to a free cash flow figure of almost 35 million euros, including the cash in of 2.7 million related to the last hectares of energy crops sold in 2016 but executed in the first half of 17. Turning to slide 21, and now focusing in the balance sheet, pulp business net debt ended the quarter at 164 million euros, representing a leverage ratio of 1.4 times, well below our committed one of 2.5 times. Regarding cash position, the pulp business closed the quarter with 152 million euros. Finally, just to remember, on the right-hand side of the slide, you can see our current debt maturity calendar aligned with the needs of our strategic plan. Let's go now to the strong operating performance of our energy business in slide 22. Power output for the semester increased by 53%, mainly due to higher generating hours compared to those in first half 16, and additional production from our new olive pulp plants acquired at the end of last year. These factors, supported by a 10% higher selling price, push our revenues up by 53% to 58 million euros, and our EBITDA by 121% to 19. We need to outline that most of the plants had its annual maintenance shutdown during the first half of the year, meaning that generation hours for the remaining second half should be over 20% higher. This, combined with the higher efficiency of the plants during the summer period and the full implementation of our cost-cutting plans, will lead us to our 45 million euros EBITDA target. Following with our energy business P&L, below the EBITDA line in slide 23, higher depreciation charges are mostly explained by the asset base increase related to our acquisitions in December. Remaining concepts are again all in line with our expectations. Taking everything into account, our energy business reported a net profit of almost 5 million euros after minorities. Let's now have a view of our energy business cash flow generation in slide 24. Recurrent free cash flow amounted to 7 million euros. Both businesses, pulp and energy, are showing a very solid cash flow generation that should continue during the next quarters. Moving now to slide 25, as a result of the good performance of our energy business, the net debt position ended as low as 24 million euros, which implies a very low leverage of 0.6 times, even after the dividend paid to our holding company, Ence Energía and Celulosa. Our cash position amounted to 90 million euros. This strong balance sheet and liquidity structure enable us to continue accelerating this business unit growth in 2017, both through greenfield and brownfield opportunities. Let me please now return the lead of this presentation back to our CEO for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Alfredo. To conclude this presentation, I wish to make some closing remarks. Our results confirm the strength of our business model with continued cash cost reductions and volume increases. We are already delivering results in our pulp and energy businesses following the implementation of our strategic plan. We expect a positive pulp market environment with a tight supply and demand balance and strong prices, which make us optimistic about our company results. ENCE's EBITDA will be well above 200 million euros in 2017, assuming an average pulp price of $810 per ton and an average exchange rate of 1.16 in the second half of the year. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are now open to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01. We have a first question from Nuno Stasio of Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. First question would be, in terms of CapEx, you are detailing a level of net CapEx in page 14 of the presentation, which is the same number that you have shown in your strategic presentation. The only question I would like to make is in any way the investment plan dependent on the asset sales, or eventually if the asset sales are not concluded, you would still go ahead with all the investments that you have planned? So this would be the first one. The second one is, in terms of the assets that you are looking in on the Spanish electricity business, as far as I'm aware, there aren't that many large biomass assets that you could buy. So are you thinking in going besides biomass? What type of assets would you be looking? Or if you are considering international assets at this point? Just a final question on, in terms of EBITDA, of other costs that you do not include in the cash costs. What is the guidance that you can give us for those costs for 18, 19, 20? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nuno, for your three questions. Regarding the second question, we want to concentrate in biomass, and all our efforts now are in Spain. There are no many biomass assets in Spain, but there are several enough to allow us to grow. It means that we will not enter in different technologies, and for the next 24 months, our growth will be in Spain. Regarding CapEx, well, let's explain that in a different way. Our financial discipline obliges us on a pulp to have always a net debt to EBITDA below 2.5 times, as you know. Not now, but for the year after, the year after, and the year after. Then when we are planning investments, we are planning our EBITDA with, as you know, a synthetic price of $720 per ton and an exchange rate of 1.20. And we commit CapEx if, with such prices and our actual cash cost, this level of net debt to EBITDA will be below 2.5 times. After paying these 50%, around 50% of dividend. That means that the first criteria is this 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. The second criteria is to pay this 50%, around 50% of dividend. And if there is cash enough, we will make the investments. And what I can tell you now is that because of the low debt we have today, because how we are improving our cash cost, we are committing already the two CapEx investments in Pontevedra, the 30,000 tons and the 40,000 tons, and we are also committing the large investment of 80,000 tons in Navia, because we are absolutely sure that at any price of the pulp, we will be below 2.5 times EBITDA with those investments. Then we don't need to sell these non-core assets in order to assure, to guarantee these CapEx. Could you repeat me your last question regarding...
Yes. Yes. When we do when you calculate through net price less the cash costs, we arrive at a slightly higher EBITDA than what you have in pulp, which is related to costs that you in the past used to call them adjusted EBITDA and EBITDA. Now you include everything. But and this has amounted around 5 million euros. Is it the amount that we should expect in the next couple of years?
Yes,
or this is something that is mostly done and...
No, you have to expect something around 5 million euros because in our cash cost, we have all the cost of the company, but the long-term bonus remuneration of the management, who is not on the cash cost, is on these 5 million euros. Well, we may have need to fire someone. It's also there. And sometimes we have some strategic consultants who are also there. Then you have to do your figure with 5 million, something around 5 million.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nuno.
Thank you. The next question is from José Ruiz of BPI.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. So my first question related to stocks. Because you had two good volumes in Q1, and I remember that in a previous conference call, you mentioned that eventually you will need to rebuild stocks down to 2017. So my question is, if you still need to rebuild stocks in H2, and if that's the case, how much will be this impact in terms of working capital? My second question, because you mentioned that some potentially M&A activity in the energy division in Spain. Basically, what I'm trying to get some feedback is if you see this as opportunistic, or do you see this as strategic in the sense that you could have some cuts in remuneration post-2019? Don't you see risks of being on these M&A activities?
José, I don't follow you now. The line is very bad, and we understand what you are saying. We know you are talking about M&A and energy, but we don't understand what risk are you talking about.
So the remuneration cuts that could be expected, or potentially remuneration cuts in 2019, that actually you have in the presentation some sensitivity analysis, what could be the EBITDA impact. My question is, if you don't see risks of doing some M&A over the next 2 years ahead of these cuts in Spain, in remuneration in Spain.
Yeah, understood, José.
And finally, also in the slide, you mentioned the 5.5 return on investment as the worst-case scenario. Just to basically, if you can explain how you get this 5.5%, because I think this is.
Sure, José. Then I will start by the last question because it's very easy. You know that the law says that this RI will be calculated with the Spanish bond at 10 years' time plus 300 basis points. Then we have asked to several banks what is the expectation of the Spanish bond for 2018 and 2019. The average, and they are all very close, is 2.5. Then we add 300 basis points, and we arrive to 5.5. That's how we calculate that, and we are pretty comfortable with that. Linking that to M&A, well, when we are analyzing companies, we are working with this 5.5. We are not working with the actual RI, but we are strengthening the model with an RI of 5.5. Coming back to the pulp business and your question about stocks, well, I can tell you that we have now only 20,000 tons of stock at Ence. Sorry, 22,000 tons of stock of pulp at Ence. That means the pulp of one day ago at the mill, because it's still analyzed, the pulp on the trucks going to the ports, the pulp on the ports, the pulp on the vessels, and the pulp by train or by road to our customers. Then it's an incredible, incredible low figure. And we know, because we are applying this 880 price for July with success, that in Southern Europe, nobody has stock. Pulp producers are out of stock, ports are out of stock, and customers are out of stock. That is the main reason why we say that although Fibria is starting at the end of third quarter and during fourth quarter, the new pulp mill, stocks have been reduced so much during the first 8 months of the year that we don't see any effect on prices of this new volume. Going to your question, specific question about your concern of working capital, well, we had a small increase in working capital in the first 6 months of the year, mainly due to the increase of prices in pulp, let's say 50%, and another important part comes from the fact that we've been selling in non-European countries on this first half of the year, benefiting from strong prices, and the payment conditions are worse than normal conditions. Then what we see today, At the same time, we've been rebuilding our biomass and wood stocks. What we see from now till the end of the year is that although we will rebuild our pulp stock, our total amount of working capital is going to be reduced from now till the end of the year. Thank you, José. I think I've replied to your three questions.
Yes, true. Just to come back on this M&A in Spain, but so you, what you are saying is that you are working with this 5.5 return, but there are some uncertainties if actually will be this 5.5. That's my point. If you have some uncertainties, couldn't be too risky to go acquiring companies without knowing exactly how much will be the impact of the new regulation? You don't think this is a risk?
No, we don't see any risk. The law is very clear. The RI is calculated with a Spanish bond at 10 years plus 300 basis points. This figure is revised every 6 years. The first revision after the energy reform is going to be in 2020. Then, well, I don't know which is the bond of what is going to be the bond in Spain in 2018 and 2019 with a base for this new calculation. But if several first banks say it's going to be 2.5, I have to believe that. And we add 3 basis points because it is what the law says. The law says. No, we don't see any risk. And you see, in the assets, we are, well, we are the larger biomass group in Spain. The impact in our group is very limited. I mentioned that in the presentation. Then when you are buying companies, you are negotiating assets with a size of 10% what we are, the impact is not relevant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, José.
Thank you. The next question is from Pedro Echeverría of Bank Inter Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Just two, if I may, and then a final clarification. One, I was wondering if you could share with us your views on the pulp prices after September. And the second is that you have revised up the EBITDA guidance. Last time we spoke, you were talking about in excess of 180 million. Now you're pushing for over 200 million. And I was wondering where this improvement is coming from. I mean, is it going to be driven by higher revenues? Are you seeing an improvement in the cash cost in the second half of the year? I mean, I was wondering what could push the estimate up. And then finally, in the last question about the working capital, I may have got it wrong, but you were saying that you're going to be rebuilding pulp stocks in the second half of the year. And I mean, that would imply that your operating working capital is going to deteriorate. I mean, you will need to invest in that buildup of stocks. And I hear you say the opposite. So, you know, I was wondering if you could clarify that. Those were
my
questions.
Let's start, Pedro, with your last question. Yeah. We are going to rebuild our pulp stocks. We are going to invest in our pulp stocks in second half of the year. Absolutely true. But the global figure of working capital is going to be reduced because at the same time, because we are approaching to winter, from a natural point of view, the stocks of biomass and the stocks of wood decrease. And at the same time, we have increased the figure of our figure of customers in the first half of the year. And because some specific sales we made during the first half of the year with worse payment dates than the normal ones. Because in Europe, when you sell in Europe, you sell at lower base number than when you are selling in third countries. Then altogether, what we see is that at the end of the year, we will have a lower working capital than today, even we are rebuilding our pulp stocks. Going to your second question, well, we see our EBITDA with the dollar exchange rate of today of above €200 million, and there are three main reasons. The first reason is that always second half of the year in energy is much more better than first half. The main reason is that in second quarter, we normally stop a bit more than 1 month in our energy power plants. That's not the case on the second half of the year. And on the last 10 years, the prices of the energy have been better in second half of the year than in first half of the year. We are working in continuing reducing our cash costs. As prices of pulp are going to be better in the second half of the year than in the first quarter of the year, the EBITDA margin per ton is going to be better, and altogether we will have a better results in the second half of the year than in the first half of the year. And let's go now to the main question, because it supports everything I'm saying now. It's our vision about pulp prices after September. Well, we see that our vision is that APP Oki is running at the same level they will run in third and fourth quarter. Then we don't see any surprise coming from Sumatra. We see further shutdowns or modification of hardwood pulp mills in China to dissolving pulp. We see the demand to remain as strong as it has been on the first half of the year. And we see that the only new volume coming to the market is these 400,000 tons Fibria is going to produce on the second half of the year, according to the figures, 100,000 tons by September and 300,000 tons in fourth quarter. And I would like to point out, first, Fibria is a well-managed company. They are not going to destroy their business pushing this new volume if they feel that it may erode prices. That's why they have said that they may reduce capacity in one of their mills in order to compensate that. And secondly, well, if we increase capacity production, let's say, by 300,000 tons in fourth quarter, in a pulp mill in Europe, out of these 300,000 tons, 250 will be on the market. But if you increase capacity by 300,000 tons in Brazil, no more than 150 will arrive to the market. And what we are seeing now, negotiating prices with our customers, is that the level of inventories is very, very low in all the supply chain, not only in the pulp mills, also on the ports, and also in customers. Then we don't see absolutely any risk of price erosion during third or fourth quarter. We are absolutely sure. And we all need to rebuild stocks. That is very, very important. And then if you see after Christmas, you see what is going to happen at the beginning of 2018, well, market, the demand will continue to grow. Fibria will not have any major problem to place this new volume. This new volume coming from Fibria and a bit more volume from APP will be what the market is going to grow in 2018. And there is a thing which is very, very important from a psychological point of view. There are no more projects starting after this one of Fibria. And you know that a pulp mill is not like a mushroom. You need to buy thousands of hectares. You need to plant a lot of eucalyptus trees. You need to get your permits, and that takes a lot of time. You need to raise almost 2 billion. What we all know in the industry is that no more capacity is going to rise, nor in 2018, nor in 2019, nor in 2020. Being now in summer with very low inventories, nobody is going to reduce a single euro in prices. and we are pretty sure that we are going to get these 880 for the contracts who are linked to our price list for this month of July, and we will work to get 900 for September. Thank you, Pedro.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Alberto Sanchez of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got one question related to your Forex hedging. In page 12, you mentioned basically a percentage of revenues that are hedged within the tunnel. My question is, what is behind this revenue figure that you are mentioning? It is group revenues, it is pulp division revenues, or it is just the pulp activity within the pulp business? Thank you.
Alberto, it's just the pulp sales who are in dollars. We don't have any other revenues in dollars.
Okay. Okay, just to clarify that. Okay. That's pulp activity within pulp, right?
Thank you, Alberto.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Luis de Toledo of BBVA. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. One remaining question from my side regarding CapEx. I know you have addressed the question already, but it seems that the level of CapEx in the first half is extremely low, considering the increased capacity plans in the pulp segment and the works you initiated on the power biomass. I was wondering if you could provide a CapEx figure, assuming that you will comply with your net debt leverage target. I don't know if it might happen the same thing as last year when you recorded low levels of CapEx in the first half and then increases. Maybe a follow-up with the dividend strategy. I don't know if you could.
Sorry, can you speak a bit slower?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you got the first question with regards to CapEx.
Yeah.
If you could provide some color on the final figure for this year.
Yeah.
The second one on the rationale behind the change in the dividend policy. Obviously, I assume that you have this positive outlook on pulp prices. The reason why switching to three payments instead of two, it's, I mean, in order to monitor liquidity or if there something behind that move? Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Toledo. Regarding the CapEx, well, the last year and the year before, we made huge investments in Navia mill in order to increase 40,000 tons. You remember that? Regarding the CapEx in our pulp activity during this year is going to be quite limited. We are paying invoices who are arriving from the CapEx done last year. The big investment is going to be in Pontevedra between 2018 and 2019. Then, well, maybe we have to pay some 10%-20% down payments during the end of this year for these investments of Pontevedra in next year. But this 30,000 tons investment in Pontevedra is very small in terms of money. It's, I think it's 11-12 million euros. Then, well, we don't expect huge payments during this year. And in 2019, we will have this 40,000 ton investment in Pontevedra, which is something around 25 million euros, if I remember well. And then we have this 80,000 tons investment in Navia, which is 80 million euros. Then it would mean that, well, we will increase a bit the CapEx figure during this year, but it's not going to be important. Alfredo, do you have the exact figure, CapEx for this year now?
Yes. I guess that, first of all, you need to remember that all these figures have been published in our web in our last.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. That is just for you to understand that. Total CapEx we are looking at during 2017 is in the range of 70, meaning around 35 from the pulp business, around 20 on the maintenance, and 15 in the energy business. And there's no change. I mean, you are not going to see any different level of investment, but the ones that our CEO was telling you right now regarding the expansions. I mean, we have been doing so many investments the last years, and now we are in a more lean mode.
That's regarding pulp. Regarding energy, it will depend on the opportunities. Going to your second question, Mr. Toledo, let me say that it is not a change, because we've been paying a dividend on a regular basis. What we have decided, and that is a strong change, is to have a policy. We didn't have a policy before. We think that from corporate governance, when you have a company where you have 50% of the ownership on the board, it's good to have a policy, a discipline, and that is why we have decided around 50%. And as we think that as we are improving cash costs, as we are increasing our energy business, the EBITDA of this company is going to be more and more stable. And we think that it may be attractive to some investors to know that there is a company who is going to have 50% of payout with three regular payments. And we think that is attractive for some investors. That's the reasons behind that.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions.
Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Hope to see you in our conference call results of the third quarter by October. Thank you.